as we start the study today, is just thinking of a verse in 1 Timothy as to why would you look at the life of the Apostle Paul to see this progression of first asking the question, who is the Lord, to the point at the end of his life, he can say, I know whom I have believed. Why study that history? Why study that pattern? And it's because in 1 Timothy it reminds us that he, given his testimony, he says in 1 Timothy chapter 1, the grace of our Lord Jesus was exceeding abundant with faith and love, which is in Christ Jesus. He says, this is a faithful saying, worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. Howbeit, for this cause I obtained mercy, that in me first Jesus Christ might show forth all longsuffering for a pattern to them which should hereafter believe on him to life everlasting. The life of the Apostle Paul is a pattern. It's a pattern of God's work and the way God moves in lives to draw them to himself. And Paul, it's a good thing to just, you know, as we look into chapter 9 and chapter 22 and chapter 26 of Acts, we didn't read the verses around it, but we need to comment on those verses around it. What we find is, and I thought this was a very interesting reality, Paul was well-schooled. Paul was a Pharisee. He was well-trained. He understood the Old, or he had knowledge of the Old Testament scriptures. And when the Lord Jesus had come and he had died, he rose again, and now there was this whole movement of people who were following the Lord Jesus, Paul, in his zeal, he says, you know what, I've got to stop this, because this is not in, from my perspective, from my understanding, this is inconsistent with what is in his understanding of the ways of God. And so he was well steeped in information, but something was missing. And I think there's a real application and lesson for us all. And it was mentioned, you know, particularly for those of us who grew up around the Word of God, hearing it all the time, is that sometimes we know the facts. We know the standard Sunday school answers. We know how to navigate through Genesis, through Revelation. We know where they are. We know some of the phrases, and we know some of the catch words, and we know a lot of things. But it's not until we have this kind of encounter that Paul had does it make a difference. And I think that's a great place to start, that he asked this very profound question, who art thou, Lord? So we start there. If we say we want to know him, and we say that at the end of our day, Paul says, I know, it started out with, who are you? And I think it's a very profound, and we could, that could be the whole conference today. You know, when we think about that one question, who art thou, Lord? The Lord asked that question when he was here. He said, who do men say that I am? Who do you say that I am? And so the real challenge is, you know, we want to, you know, sometimes we want to jump to the experience level, and that's important. But I think there's also some basic groundwork in understanding just the doctrine of the person of Christ. Who is he? Who art thou, Lord, was Paul's introduction. And from that point on, it totally radically transformed his life and perspective.
One of the greatest mysteries that this world experienced was the incarnation of the Lord Jesus. Paul would later declare, great is this mystery of piety or godliness. We think time and eternity. That God had a plan and a purpose. And the Lord Jesus is the architect to work it out. He came in the scene as God manifest in flesh. The Son of God clothed in humanity. And as he said at the end of his ministry on earth, the Father's desire was that they would reverence the Son, but they connived to kill the Son and to say, we don't want him. We don't want him to rule over us. Give us Barabbas. And he died. Disappear from the sight of men. And God, the Holy Spirit, begins to reveal to us, wait, folks, he's alive. God raised him from the dead, and even though you have not seen him since you rejected him, he is glorified at the right hand of God, for God has made him both Lord and Christ. Religious activities go on. And then the Spirit of God energized Stephen. And I'm struck with Stephen's word in chapter 7 of Acts. Stephen says, in verse 55 of Acts 7, full of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit who is saying to us, look, Jesus is relevant. He is on the right hand of the throne of God. Gazed into heaven and saw the glory of God and Jesus standing at the right hand of God. Said, look, I see the heavens opened. And the Son of Man standing at the right hand of God. Saul, we believe, heard these words from Stephen. When I ponder, and when the introduction was being given, I became more touched with this, of the testimony of Stephen. Stephen took up Father Abraham, the awesomeness of who Abraham was in the counsels of God. He went through the Aaronic order. He went through the great judges of Israel. He went through the kings of Israel. And Stephen is saying, all of these are just dress rehearsal. All of these are just padding for the man that God wants us to be occupied with. All of these are just a preamble to look to Jesus. And then he said, look, I see heaven open. Jesus standing. And they closed their ears. And he said, let's kill Stephen. And heaven opens up in chapter 9 and said, Saul, Saul, who art thou, Lord? I am Jesus. I am the one of whom Stephen spoke. I am the one in the counsels of God. As Brother Mark mentioned, he was familiar with all the things that Stephen spoke about. He knew all about Father Abraham, all of that history. Fully familiar. He said, Saul, it is bigger than this. And so, what more would that man do? Lord, what you want me to do? And that's where we come in. That this awesome God had something personal for Saul. He was not just an arbitrary, distant deity. It was a God who said, I appear to you that you might know, that you might do, that you might bear witness, that there was a personal encounter in the counsels of God, not only for Paul, but for me and you. That the desire for which the Spirit of God filled Stephen to declare who Jesus was, so relevant that he's willing to die for him with joy. And he's saying Christianity is that we be occupied with this man, that our lives be transformed by him, that he takes such a hold of us that we want nothing less but to see him, to know him, and to live for him. And I think that was Paul's course after he had the encounter with Jesus. And that's what the Spirit of God desires to do with you and me. Mm-hmm.